I hope you've come praying tonight that the Lord would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds toward Him, that we might hear the message of His Word. I'm glad to be able to be back with you again this evening, and I ask you to pray that the Lord would bless me to be able to speak with some sense of clarity. Linda and I were chuckling after the last 10 days. If the Lord lets me get through tonight, I will have endeavored to preach 8 times in 10 days. And I'm finding out that my brain just doesn't recuperate as fast as it used to. So I ask you to pray that I'll be able to have my thought before me under His Holy Spirit, and that I will be guided for His glory. I want to ask you to turn with me tonight to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And as we were coming home last week, Linda had the service, the Facebook page service, and Brother Ben gave out his text. And as he started, he said he wanted you to turn to Mark chapter 8. And I said, well, now, wait a minute. I found out later on that this was not the text that he was going to preach from. But I ask you to turn to Mark chapter 8 tonight. And I want us to read the first 9 verses together. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them have come from far. And His disciples answered Him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And He asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fish or fishes, and He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And He sent them away. I want to ask you to focus our attention tonight, the Lord being willing, on the statement that Jesus makes in that second verse. I have compassion on the multitude. May the Lord bless us, is my prayer. Father in heaven, guide our minds to Your word. You know the weakness of my flesh. You know the weakness, Father, that I have in my body. And I ask tonight that You would guide my mind to be able to speak Your truth. Lord, we depend upon You. We rest upon You. And we wait upon You this evening. I pray this evening, Father, that as we read these words that speak of the message that Your Son had given, that we would find not only an awe and reverence at the might with which He did mighty works, but a conviction of the attitude with which He served. And Lord, may that attitude grow within our minds. Help us now, I beg, in Jesus' name, and amen. There are some lessons that are repeated in several places in Jesus' ministry. I've heard people try to argue that that is indeed a weakness in the Bible, that that's indeed a contradiction in the Bible. But this one says one thing one place, and this one says another thing at another place. But I would share with you tonight that rather than being a weakness or a contradiction, it is rather an evidence of the ministry of Jesus as he went from place to place, because after my years in the ministry, I can tell you that you can preach the same message in one town or another more than different places. And when you do, it doesn't always come out exactly the same way, but the message is always the same. And so it is with a lot of the things that Jesus has said. I won't turn and read the passages, but if you look in Matthew chapter 14 and John chapter 6, and I think I put the scriptures in the outline, but you can look at those two places and you'll find in the various places that's Jesus speaks of feeding the 5,000. With 5 loaves of bread. And you can look in Mark chapter 8 where we've read, and you can look also in Matthew chapter 15, and you'll find there the record of Jesus feeding the 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread. Now it may be that the same events, and probably was, but the fact of the matter is God uses more than one speaker to remind us of the same thing. And I think part of that is the fact that involved in the might and the power of the miracle is this passage of scripture in verse 2 that we read, where the attitude of Jesus is demonstrated. Because I'll tell you that this attitude that Jesus makes manifest to his disciples and through the feeding of the congregation speaks to us of an attitude that's so easy to get lost in our daily work and ministry and in our humanity. Jesus said, "I have compassion on the multitude." Now, the multitude is a group of people that had been following Jesus from place to place. I find it interesting that today in our culture that people are not willing to drive very far to get to a church. And then if the preacher lasts longer than about 30 minutes, they get all upset about it. Jesus said this group of people had come from afar. They had traveled great distance to be with him. And they had been with him for 3 days. And they didn't go back home at night. They stayed wherever he was. That's where they stayed. And they were without food now. Jesus looked upon that congregation, and he took them what we would say were rather meager provisions that he had. They had 7 loaves of bread among them. If you remember the passage in John chapter 6, we're told that there was a young lad that had the 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, and Jesus took those and fed 5,000. This time, the multitude didn't have any bread, but apparently the disciples had some food with them. They had 7 loaves of bread, and I have an idea that in their minds they might have been thinking, "Now wait a minute, if you take this and give that to them, we're not going to have much left." But Jesus looked and said, "I have compassion." I want you to think with me tonight about that word. And there is a Greek word that is translated as splagnid zomahi, and that's a poor effort, but I want you to see that it's a combination of words, of Greek words that's put together, and it literally means to have one's bowels yearning. Not exactly the kind of conversation you want to have in mixed company, but it carries the idea that my feelings, my thoughts churn with inside me. My stomach is churning. Not because I'm sick, but because I'm concerned. That my life is moved because of a feeling of compassion or pity towards someone else. As a matter of fact, it is moved to the point of taking what action I am capable of taking. Now, Jesus was able to do a good bit more than what you and I are capable of doing. However, the thing that is no different is that Jesus said that we were to follow Him. He said we were to love others as He loved us. If we do that, then we're going to have that attitude of compassion and concern for the needs of other people. It is interesting that the New Testament in several different places gives us the instructions. One of them says that we are to be concerned or considerate of others' wealth rather than of our own. That we are to esteem others more highly than ourselves. If we follow Jesus Christ, this attitude of compassion upon our brethren, brothers that have need, a visible need, an immediate need, a specific need at a given moment, those individual needs will be something that we have a concern about. Jesus said, I have compassion. It's not just a word. It's not just a statement of word where, yeah, I feel sorry for you, but I can't do nothing about it. Look at what James said. Go with me over into the book of James for just a moment. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, if they are at a point where they were like this multitude that had been with Jesus for 3 days, they had traveled, they were tired, they were weary. He said, if I send them home without feeding them, they're going to pass out. They're going to faint in the way. If they're without food, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Hope you get better. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Think of the words that Jesus said when he spoke in Matthew chapter 25. He said to those that were around him as he spoke in parables, he said, blessed are you of my Father. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came to me. I was sick and you visited me. Whoa, Lord, when did we do these things? Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. As Jesus was looking at these people that were there, you'll see, he wasn't trying to get them regenerated and get them into heaven by buying them through food. He wasn't trying to get them into heaven by providing something earthly for them. He was ministering to people that were already following him. They had been following him for 3 days. They had been seeing what he had done. They had been listening to what he had been teaching. His concern was not to take something physical and make something spiritual out of it. It was to meet the physical needs that these people had in their walk of faith in following Jesus. There are physical things that come up. Jesus reminded those, or said to those that were around him there in Matthew chapter 20, chapter 25, I think. He said, well, you fed me, but when did we feed you? When you gave to the least of these, my brethren. You see, saying I feel sorry for you is not just a matter of words. It is a commitment of my inner feelings that will move me to do what I can. I can't do everything that Jesus did. I don't have the physical capability within me that Jesus had to take seven loaves of bread and feed 4,000 people. But the question is, what can I do for one that I have the opportunity? Why? Because I'm to have the same thing that moved Jesus to that action. I have compassion on these. See, folks, that idea of compassion is a choice to act out of love for other people. The love that we are to have because of the love that Jesus has to us moves us not in a sense of demand, not in a sense of obligation, but in a sense of willing choice to take what I have and to use for what I can to do for what someone else needs. Jesus basically said, I choose to have compassion. I make this action because I choose to act this way. Folks, we're to choose to have compassion upon those that God puts in our path. If you go back over into John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. What's that commandment? That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The commandment is that you love one another. The standard is that you love one another as I have loved you. If you look at the way that verse is constructed, a new commandment have I given to you, that you love one another. There's a semicolon. Then he goes on to say, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The commandment, love one another. The standard, to love as Jesus loved us. How did Jesus love? He chose to love through compassion. By this, he says in verse 35, shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. By this shall everybody who sees you, all men, every human being in the earth is not going to be aware of our action. That's not the meaning of all men. All who see us are going to notice the action with which we live that follows the pattern of Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By this what? By our obedience to this commandment, that you love one another like Jesus loved us. How did he love us? With compassion. You see, folks, that's a moving attitude within the man Christ Jesus. He was God, and God loved. God is love. Granted. But as a man that walked upon the earth, he demonstrated that love through a yearning to do for someone else. Do we think of other people that way? 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I ought to be with you. And that word ought, we get the idea sometimes. Well, you oughta. That's one of them good old southern words. You oughta. And you really should, but. Now, this word carries with it the impress that it is something we must do. It is what we are commanded to do. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It didn't say for all humanity, but he says for the brethren, for those that are believers in Jesus Christ, for those that are followers of the Lord. I don't know all of them, no, but the ones that I do know, This is God's instruction to me. Hereby perceive we the love of God. How? Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now notice the rest of this. But, do I have to die for them? That's not where this goes. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. And that's the same word, the of compassion is in parentheses in the King James translation. But it says shutteth up his bowels. And that's the same Greek idea that Jesus said in Mark 8:2. I have compassion. I have a bowel of compassion. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. We know that we have passed from death unto life. And John says this in another passage in his letter. We know that we have passed from death unto life when we have love for the brethren. Hereby we assure our own hearts. Oh, I'm not earning my keep before Jesus. What I'm doing is finding comfort and hope to know that the love of Christ abides within me. How do I know it does? Because I want to do what Jesus did, that I would have a bowel of compassion for other people. And, well, I can't do for others. I don't have enough. The question is, what do you have and what do you use? If we wait till we think we got enough, then we're going to run into what we talked about this morning in the Bible study lesson about our treasure, where our treasure is. If we want to hold it up and we want to keep it, I can't use it yet. I got to keep it for right now. Then we let our treasure slip into the wrong place because we think of this rather than of the goodness of God who's given us the instruction. You see, folks, the question tonight is that, and it's a question that Jesus raises before us in different ways in different places, but it's the issue is, do I have within me, do I act from within me based on that compassion that grows out of God's love for me? Now I want you to notice something else about Jesus' movement of compassion. It's easy for us, it's easier, I'll put it that way, for us to think in terms of having compassion, to think in terms of doing for somebody else, as long as we know that they're like we are and they're walking with us and they agree with us and we're all kind of family. What about people that wind up turning away from you? Go back to John chapter 6 just a minute. That passage that we're talking about, him talking about feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. Go to the end of that chapter. Go to John chapter 6, verses 60 through 66. Now keep the context of this chapter in mind. Jesus fed this great multitude with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 small fish that the young boy had had. And there were 12 baskets taken up when they finished. Jesus sent the disciples on the boat to go back across to the other side. Jesus went up in the mountain to pray. And he came to them. They and those 12 baskets of food were in that ship. And they were rowing against contrary winds. And Jesus walked on the water and came to them. And they went, immediately the sea calmed down when he was in the boat with them, and they went on over. The next day, all those folks that were still there that had been fed by that feast that Jesus had given, they looked around and realized he wasn't still there, and they went looking for him. And as they came, Jesus said, "I know that you have followed me because you ate what I provided for you." He proceeded to tell them that that bread was a picture of himself, that he is the bread of life. Eating of, having life is eating of him, eating of his body. That didn't go over too well. Look at what he said in verse 60. "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. You take my words, not just a loaf of bread. My words are the moving force. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore I say unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples, or those who were following him, went back and walked no more with him. What I want you to see is that group, perhaps, of that 5,000 that followed him, looking for him to get more bread. If this guy can take 5 loaves of bread and feed this multitude, he can take care of all our grocery shopping. We need to find him. But when he got there, Jesus had already fed them. He knew those that believed on him. He knew those that didn't believe on him. He knew those that would turn away. And yet he fed those anyway. Jesus fed them knowing that they would later turn back and walk no more with him. Jesus didn't move with compassion just on those that did the best. Jesus moved on compassion with those that were hungry. Well, how do I know they're going to? How do I know they're going to do this? Follow Jesus. How do I know they're going to do that? We don't know. Jesus did, and he fed them anyway. The issue for us is we are to act as he did and let him handle the rest of it. Folks, can we say of our life? Can we say of our congregation? Can we say of our own individual lives? I have compassion on this multitude. And then take what I have and use it in the best way I can to alleviate the needs. That's what Jesus did. There were 7 baskets left over. If you go back into Mark chapter 8 and you look in the 8th verse, you'll find that there in that passage, the Bible tells us that when everything was finished, there were 7 baskets of the meat. And by the way, meat is not what we have, just simply what we have in mind, beef or pork or whatever. Meat is a term that's used even as a meal offering. A meat offering under the law was simply a double handful of meal or flour that was raised up before the Lord. Think of it this way. There were 7 baskets of food that remained. Bread and fish. There were 7 baskets that remained. 7 is throughout the scriptures a number of completion. Well, what does that mean, preacher? Well, I tell you what it means to me. Jesus looks upon us with compassion. And the promise is that once he has had compassion through his grace upon us today, he still has just that much grace left over. His passage or his service in compassion doesn't leave him any less capable of providing for the next time that we have need. He doesn't use it. His graciousness is not used up by his ministry to us. Our graciousness, we think, well, I'll use it up. No, cast your bread upon the water. It'll come back to you not many days hence, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God give you more than you ever give away. Listen to what Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his, what? Compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It is good that his compassions, his mercies. Isn't it interesting that those two words are linked together? His compassion is not, they fail not. It's not consumed. It wasn't consumed when he fed all that multitude. His graciousness to us is not consumed. It's used and he provides for us again and again. He gives to us, if you go over in John chapter 10, we're told that the shepherd knows his sheep and he comes that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He has his compassion upon us. And that compassion is out of the abundance of his grace. Folks, when we look at what Jesus did through the multiplying the bread and the fish, we'd say, oh, I can't do that. You're right. But when we look at what Jesus said, I have compassion on this multitude, we can have compassion. If God has loved us, we can love others in the same way. We can do what we can do because we choose to. May the Lord bless us as individuals and as a group of believers in this place to have it said of us that we love others like Jesus loved us, that we have compassion upon God's people. May the Lord help is my prayer.